Derek, I've only brought out this music on this very podcast a couple of times because for the eternity of my life, whenever I've heard this music, it means that in that spotlight is about to appear a man. And that man is here to bring me complete and utter joy.
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, and may we wish you a happy Dundon Day.
Happy Dundon Day to you, Mike.
As we stand here on this January 13th, one day into the Tom Dundon era, I look out upon the majesticness that is the PNC Arena, and I am filled with hope. I am filled with joy, knowing that today, on this Dundon Day,
happy Dundon Day,
a new day has arisen for Carolina Hurricanes hockey.
Are we setting the bar too high?
I don't think so.
That's the correct answer. No, we're not.
No, because I don't know if a new owner could have knocked it out of the ballpark in his first 36 hours, unless, of course, he could have stopped that goal with 1.5 seconds left or potentially spent another, you know, $10 million to actually have the referees make the correct call on the Jordan Stahl high stick last night. We're going to get to that. But gosh, guys, thank you for joining us on this day two of the Tom Dundon era. And welcome to what's going to be a very happy Cheaters Never Win.
Yeah, and ain't nobody killing my vibe today, Mike.
No. My voice, on the other hand, after last night's game, not 100%.
You may notice a little scratch from both of us. We did a fair amount of yelling last night, a fair amount of screaming, and it was almost exclusively done out of joy.
Well, I also sobbed a bit last night.
Well,
10:15 or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, until about 10:15 this morning.
Wow, that's a lot of time crying, Mike. Do you need a hug?
I could have used a hug last night.
Okay.
Where were you, Derek?
I was right next to you.
Oh, I missed you. Sorry.
Wow.
Guys, it's...
Disrespect. Blatant disrespect, Mike.
So on tonight's Cheaters Never Win, we're going to talk about Tom Dundon's first 36 hours, the new era. We may mention a little bit of the former owner, kind of some views and thoughts on him as Mr. Konomanos makes his way.
Standing O, everybody. Standing O.
Oh, there's that snark we know and love, Derek. We're gonna talk a little bit about this week's games, couple of games against Metropolitan Division rival, the Washington Capitals. We played Tampa this week, I think.
We
played Tampa this week, and we got one more game in the next week.
That feels weird.
It feels odd. But with the bye week coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about the bye week. We're going to touch on All-Star Game. We're going to touch on the bye week. We're going to touch on a few things, not each other. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just Derek's wife's out of town, and I don't want to get too close to him. he's a powder keg. Anyway.
Wow.
I'm
retracting that offer for the hug. It is no longer valid, Mike.
Null and void. I'm done sobbing, so that's good. But we're gonna take your cheat mail questions. We've got the bottle mix beer review tonight. Again, we thank you guys for listening. The arena last night had a little bit more fire to it, Derek. I feel like I want to channel a little Wade Mentor when I say, Derek, hit that X button.
Yeah, man. Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
Thanks for having us back there, Wade. And Derek?
Yes, Mike. Sorry. I was preoccupied.
I could see that on this day two of Dundon Day.
Happy Dundon Day.
We're a little late on the podcast start. It's 1 o'clock. So, you know, it's never too early to crack a good, cold, smooth, delicious beverage, particularly when you're still a part of the Sports Channel 8 podcast network. Maybe we should have saved the beer crack for the sound effect for the Sports Channel 8 network.
That would have required planning, and that's not a part of this podcast.
It is not. We have plenty of times on this podcast talked about disappointing 1-2 weeks or 1-2-0 weeks. So while we are going to talk some of this past week's games, I think primarily, Derek, let's focus on the last 48 hours in Caniac Nation, which has been Tom Dundon taking over 61% ownership of our team, the Carolina Hurricanes. Derek, before I get your initial reaction,
yeah,
what was going into this? What did you think your feelings were going to be when we got a new owner? And how was your reaction over the last 48 hours similar or different to what you thought you were going to feel?
So, you know, when the sale rumors started back in summer and we thought it was going to be a different ownership group, it was like, okay, mainly excitement of just a new owner. Like, Peter Karmanos for bringing the team here and the good that he's done in that respect, I feel like it's been more negative with him. You know, whenever he speaks publicly, you kind of hold on to your seat and go like, okay, just don't say anything too blustery or that's going to piss too many people off, or, you know, make some offhand remark that chaps everyone's tuchus. And I was like, okay, just getting the bar to a Midland area is going to be what I want. But then hearing who this Dundon guy is, hearing about, you know, what his background is, how competitive he is. Mike, have you heard he's friends with Mark Cuban?
I have now heard at least once that he is familiar with Mark Cuban.
Like, okay, you know, maybe some of the things that Cuban did, maybe don't be as brash as Cuban when he came in, but...
Why not?
Well,
why not?
I'm not saying it would be a bad thing. I'm just saying that's not like, yes, please go do that.
Okay, let's pin that for a second. Keep going. I don't want to interrupt.
No. But I mean, that's pretty much where I was. And then, you know, getting into yesterday, just everything I've heard from Tom Dundon is just winning me over more and more.
Yeah. When the initial sale kind of conversation happened and we all thought it was going to be Chuck Greenberg, a guy who already owns a professional sports franchise, a guy who installed a lazy river at a minor league ballpark. What? This guy has his priorities right.
I still want a lazy river in the PNC Arena. If Tom Dundon, if you're listening, get us a lazy river. You mean to tell me, Mike, that maybe not for a game like the Capitals game last night, but hey, just it's Sunday afternoon against Calgary. You just kind of want to kick back and relax and watch the second period while floating around on a lazy river?
The problem is my Carolina Hurricane sweater gets really heavy when it's drenched in water.
Well, that's why you're in a raft, Mike. You don't need like to have your whole body wet.
If I'm in a lazy river, I'm going to be damp.
Okay.
Moist. that's for all the people who hate that word. But no, so Chuck Greenberg had us very, very excited. And then we kind of fast forward to, oh, this isn't happening. And then, you know, Chuck was having trouble after everybody saw the books. And then we heard news of another Texas businessman who was interested. And I was like, oh, wait, this guy owns Topgolf. Great. This guy made all of his money in subprime auto lending. So I was a little bit... I was a little bit hesitant, I'm going to say.
I won't argue that.
Because it was another owner who is not moving to the area, is not going to be a local owner. And I was honestly, I had reservations because that just wasn't what I had dreamed of. In my mind, it was going to be somebody that had ties or somebody who was from an area that had no potential of us relocating to their home area,
mm-hmm.
and potentially that owner coming to us. I understand now, you know, knowing that Tom Dundon knows Mark Cuban, so got to stay in Texas to keep connections with Mark.
Wait, he knows Mark Cuban?
Yes.
You'd think somebody would have written about that.
Somebody did. But also the fact of, you know, a lot of respect for Tom Dundon, who has, I believe, 5 children.
I think that's what I've read.
All school age children, and doesn't want to relocate his family. You know, has a major investment in a golf course down there, which you may have also heard about.
I have. I just love the idea of, hey, this tournament is in the area. They're looking at moving. Why don't I build a golf course so they can stay?
Why don't I build like one of the 20 new best golf courses on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So that way they'll stay. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to completely revolutionize golf entertainment as we see it and figure out this whole Topgolf thing.
I want Topgolf.
So all of that happened. So again, feeling good, little bit of reservations, and then the last 24 hours happened where Tom Dundon's in Raleigh, not his first time, but his first time really kind of speaking publicly. And Tom comes out and very matter-of-factly is doing interviews. It's not at a presser. It's not a Peter Karmanos interview where you're gritting your teeth.
So you're talking about the video he had with Chip the night before at the before the NC State game, and then like the one-offs after the press conference.
Exactly.
You're talking those things.
All of it. All of those little 6, 7, 8 minute conversations that he's having with local media, national media. But the guy's in basically a sweatsuit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a baseball hat on. And it's obvious, you know, he takes, I think I picked up on this. He kind of takes his hat off to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he takes his hat off and you can see he's got a, but he doesn't, that's who he is. He's not a suit and tie guy. He's not a by the book answers guy. He's obviously very, very business savvy. He is obviously very analytical. He's a guy that you want to work for when you know your shit. He's a guy when you are kind of flying by the seat of your pants, who's A, going to figure it out, and B, you're on the next train out of Dodge.
Oh, yeah. Also, we learned in the press conference, a man who appreciates punctuality.
I actually missed part of the presser yesterday.
So there was a delay because I think Karmanos was late, and it was supposed to start at 12. It started at about 12:15. And for a little while, Dundon and Bettman are just sitting there at the table, just the two of them killing some time. And Chuck Caton starts spouting off Ron Francis' rookie season stats to buy time for everybody. But Dundon was visibly a little bit agitated. And I think even said just as much that he doesn't like things not being on time. And I was like, I like that.
Yeah. You know something else he said, Derek? And he said he values winning more than he values money. Here's what I take from that comment, though. In the business world, you know what winning means? Money.
Oh,
Tom Dundon does not look at taking over an industry as accumulating wealth. He views it as winning.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Dundon, what he saw in Santander, what was Drive Financial, became part of Santander Consumer. He found a way to win auto financing, and he realized it from a different viewpoint. So again, I like to think business stuff. He didn't look at it to say, okay, how can I shave a quarter of a point off, or how can I go rip people off? He looked at it from the point of, these people need their car for their job. If they don't have a car, they don't have a job. Their car is the most important thing to them in their life. I have to find a way to enable people to get to and from their job in such a way that even if it is at a higher rate than what some folks may be willing to pay, these folks, it is so important to them to maybe take an extra 12 months of payments to pay off a car to be able to keep their job and to be able to pay their bills.
Mm-hmm.
And it made him a billionaire. And the fact that he looked at it not from the position of, I'm in business, how do I make another point? But let's flip the script. Let's look at it from the end user. Let's look at it from the personal experience. And how do I create a tool, an investment tool, a business around serving those individuals' needs.
And I think, setting aside your personal feelings about subprime lending.
Subprime auto lending and home lending are two very different things.
Totally understand. But, you know, there's still some who are thinking that's not like the most ethical of things. But I've also heard the argument of, show me a lot of billionaires who have done everything in the most ethical route. I don't want to get into the tenets of capitalism here, but I see your point, and I know what you're saying of he's taking a different approach to get to a winning result.
Exactly. And I think we've seen that in his first 24 hours as a leader of the Carolina Hurricanes. And I specifically use the word leader and not owner, Derek, because I was talking with some folks who were on the concourse, around the team, different facilities within the organization, and one of them told me an interesting story. He said, you know, it was right before the game started and before the doors opened, and Tom Dundon was... Happy Dundon Day, by the way, Derek.
Oh, Mike, happy Dundon Day.
He was walking around the lower concourse, and he happened to pop into the what I call the jersey eye, the eye that has primarily jerseys where they stitch the jerseys or press on the nameplates. And he was walking around, hat, kind of, you know, his windbreaker, eating an ice cream cone. And the guy that I was speaking to, he said the first question he was wondering on, where'd that guy get an ice cream cone? And then he realized who it was, and he goes, oh, guy owns the place. He knows where to find the ice cream. So Tom's walking around eating his ice cream cone, goes into the ad and says, hey, where's those new t-shirts that we were supposed to have? And the guy was like, and he said, Tom said, you know, we really need to get those. I'm gonna go take care of that. Went back to eating his ice cream cone and kept going. Guy's been the owner for less than 24 hours of the Carolina Hurricanes and just is walking around the arena. And he's got Gary Bettman stuff to deal with. He's got, I'm sure, 30 other owners who are trying to introduce themselves and get to know this guy. I'm sure it's happened a little bit with Board of Governors, but you've got all of that happening. You've got the players, you've got media, you've got the fans. And his eye is astute enough to pick up on the fact that the small eye was missing a t-shirt.
A couple things. One, hearing in the press conference yesterday that he's apparently been doing a lot of things with the team and making a lot of decisions over the past couple months, which is cool to hear. The other part is, Mike, the best part of that story is not his attention to detail. It's the fact that a billionaire is walking around eating an ice cream cone.
But just the fact of the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Do we know if it had sprinkles?
In my mind, it did. Okay. If I close my eyes and I kind of imagine this happening, that ice cream cone definitely had sprinkles.
Does Tom Dundon call them sprinkles or jimmies? These are the questions we need answered.
Mr. Dundon, if you'd like to come on the podcast and speak for yourself, I would assume that they are sprinkles. I don't know what jimmies are.
Jimmies are another word for sprinkles. I don't know where the region it comes from, but
it's odd.
It is.
It's odd. It probably comes from Ohio.
Yeah.
That's an odd place. So, Derek, his analytical way of thinking, but also his keen attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
I am very impressed with what has happened. And again, you mentioned he has been working and maybe making some decisions with the team. Don Waddell came out and said yesterday a couple things we're immediately going to see. Reduced pricing and concessions.
Well, not immediately. I mean, they didn't happen last night.
It did not happen last night.
But these will be some of the changes that we will notice first.
Yes. Parking? Changes to the parking?
I wonder how that's going to work, though, because a lot of season ticket holders prepaid.
Well, again, it may not be this season. It may be announced for next season.
Yeah.
It may also be, well, we saw yesterday as a season ticket member, Tom Dundon sent an email out, or the team sent an email out from Tom, encouraging season ticket members to bring fans and friends to games throughout the next month, and gave us, depending upon how many seats you had and length of seniority, basically a stack of vouchers to every season ticket member.
Which, I love that. I also love the fact that, and I think they promoted it on the Jumbotron last night, but I didn't really pay too much attention to that. But I looked again today. They're doing a $40 lower level tickets for like the next dozen games.
Yeah. Basically, well, we have 27 home games in February, something like that, Derek.
Yeah.
But yes, $40 downstairs tickets.
And it's just like not the first row, not the second row, but any other damn seat you want that's available in the lower bowl, it's only $40.
$20 to sit upstairs.
Oh, is it that promo too?
Yeah.
I didn't see that was attached. I only saw the $40 thing.
I believe it's $40 downstairs, $20 upstairs. Come out, and again, fill the building, get people interested, and have folks watch the Carolina Hurricanes make their march to the playoffs.
So while we're on the ticket pricing thing, because there's other in-game entertainment things I want to talk about, but Mike, right now, do you think season ticket prices will be the same or lower next year?
I think the season ticket pricing will be the same next year. I think the benefits we will receive as season ticket members will be miraculously improved. I think there will, again, I have no insider information into this.
Neither of us do.
But I think with the way the team's playing, everything we've got going on, as a business guy, I would feel comfortable keeping the season ticket prices the same, similar, maybe, you know, a marginal discount.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think that there would be other things that you could potentially do for season ticket members that would be like, oh, wow, that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll throw one out there. Don't reduce my season ticket rates. I've been at this will now be my 19th year of sitting in the same seat. Give me free parking for a season.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if they were to come up and do just that. I mean, so I spend $420 a season on parking. That is my cost prepaid for parking for 42 home games.
I thought the prepaid was 15 a game.
No, this was the last year I think of 10 a game.
Okay.
Maybe I was different. Maybe it's different. I don't know. It's the bills.
So between $400 and $600 a year
between
on parking.
Between $400 and $600 a year on parking. Throw me that for free for the first season.
Mm-hmm.
You throw that out there, and again, I understand that is a bigger loss of revenue, but I think that buys you a lot more goodwill with Carolina Hurricanes season ticket members than it does by dropping it a buck a seat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're in the cheap seats, so we're not going to, you know, if we see a $20 price decrease in our tickets, we're going for, you know, close to free. So, you know, even if you were to take my seats and drop them by what, 10%, I'm $22.50 off a ticket, something like that, mm-hmm. $225 off a ticket, which I'm like, okay, that's nice, you know, and it drops my bill by 10%. But hey, guys, here's all of your stuff. Here's all of the cool things that I'm doing. Oh, by the way, thanks for being a season ticket member. I got your parking this year.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm thinking through the math. If he were to go 10%, it'd be $2.50, $80. It's maybe $100, $100, $200 extra it's going to cost him for my three seats. So be it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Do the Tampa thing.
Oh, the Tampa. Give us sweaters.
Give us sweaters with RFIDs in them. They get you all, or, you know, whatever the latest and greatest QR code. I don't care.
You shut your mouth. I didn't want nothing to do with the QR code.
No, God, I'm joking. QR codes are the devil. Every time someone misuses a QR code, God kills a kitten. I think that's from Unmarketing. I think I just stole that from him. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, the fan experience was something that he chirped on a lot yesterday. He mentioned some changes. You talked about concession prices. We saw some changes last night with Wade Minter on the mic having a little bit more leeway, I'm guessing, to do like his new power play call. It just, there was a lot more energy in the building. I wonder how much of that was, you know, folks like ourselves walking in a better mood and excited versus how much of it was little changes that we may not have noticed, others that we did, but it all combined for a phenomenal game atmosphere, and I want more of that.
You know what, Derek? I had a rant on this podcast 2-3 months ago about the state of things inside PNC Arena, and we went and actually had the chance to meet with the Carolina Hurricanes and talked with them about it, and I think we, you know, we agreed to, you know, there was some things that could have been improved, and to their credit, they worked on a few things. But one of the things that has really been difficult for us up on the third level has been the great staffing shortage of 2016, 2017, and 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were told that the reason that all of the concession stands had been closed was that there was a massive staffing shortage and you just couldn't get people to fill those positions. Derek, Tom Dundon has sparked the Raleigh economy in such a way. Raleigh people are so excited that in the span of a week, not only was the great staffing shortage rectified, but every single concession stand in the PNC Arena was open last night. All of them.
Wow.
So to that, not one to throw shade, I am officially, you know, to the leaders of the PNC Arena, Dave Olson, thank you for getting done what you had to get done. I will believe personally that it wasn't a staffing shortage. It was a budgetary shortage, and you could not fill those positions at the rate someone was willing to pay. So your definition of staffing shortage and mine may continue to differ, but what I saw last night was an arena full of life, because I did not have to walk past six consecutive concession stands that were closed. Derek, the Twisted Waffle Cone place was open on the third level last night.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, that can't be.
Yes, it was open.
Was that a mirage?
Derek, I saw people eating ice cream on the third level.
Was it Tom Dundon?
Oh, God, if it was. Tom Dundon, come on this podcast. Come here. Tom, come. You're invited to the Section 328 Worldwide Headquarters. Come join us. We'll provide ice cream.
Yeah.
With sprinkles or Jimmy's, your call. I'm sure there's still a lot of changes to be made. I'm sure there is a lot of people who are inside 1400 Edwards Mill Road who are very excited about having budget, about having resources. I'm also sure there's some folks who are concerned that there is going to be some light shined on their departments, and they need to make some changes quickly. What I will say is that, again, we saw some changes in Wade's call last night. I think we saw a little bit new stuff and more fun stuff out of Kane's vision last night.
Mm-hmm.
I think someone may have been kind of holding the brakes back a little bit on Greenlee and team because, you know, that office, it was the office bit, right? No.
Parks and Rec. Yeah, the little Sebastian one.
Wow, that was beautiful. Little fun things like that. I was like, where's that been?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And, you know, it was just, I was excited and I don't even know what to say, Derek.
Well, I mean, we could talk about the game itself, the on-ice product.
Okay, Derek, let's bring the podcast. For those of you who may not have been aware yet, since we haven't said anything, there will be no guests this week because it is Happy Dundon Day.
Happy Dundon Day to you.
And we were so excited to talk through Tom Dundon, and we weren't able to get Tom on the podcast. We didn't ask because, frankly, we've yet to have a billionaire on the podcast. And
well, unless somebody that we've had is a secret billionaire.
True.
Maybe we've had one of the folks from Undercover Boss on and we didn't know it.
Could be. Goals, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Dundon's going to be on the podcast.
Okay.
So.
That'd be fun.
We're actually shooting for, while we don't want to, we're shooting for a couple of guests from the moon. Like, we're shooting way above our pay grade.
Oh, I thought you meant like we're trying to get Buzz Aldrin on or something.
I don't know if Buzz likes hockey or not. If Buzz Aldrin said, hey, I'll come on your podcast, I would absolutely just let Buzz Aldrin talk for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Angrily. He's kind of an angry dude, isn't he?
I think if your name is Buzz, you have to be.
Yeah. All right, Derek, let's talk a little bit about the on-ice product. Tom Dundon got to see the first game with he being the owner at PNC Arena last night. The Washington Capitals came to town. Third game in 11 nights, and it was back-and-forth action that Washington really kind of came in with their shorts on fire after we took it to them with a 2-1-3-1 win up in D.C. the other night.
Mm-hmm. I think you knew they were going to come in pissed, and I expected a chippier game than we got last night.
God, I hate Tom Wilson so much.
Oh, he
smells of Limburger.
Oh, he really does. As I mentioned screamed last night in the arena. I'm pretty sure Tom Wilson just now subscribed to Logan Paul's YouTube channel. He is that bad of a person. It was a fun game.
It wasn't really chantable, but it was a good yell.
No. Half the things I say aren't chantable, you know, for either taste or rhythm reasons. But Jordan Staal's goal was beautiful. Sebastian Aho's goal was beautiful. Skinner's snipe was fantastic. None of those were the goal of the night, though. As I fanboy out over here, that slapper from Ovi.
Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer of all time. We've now said that on back-to-back podcast.
We have, but that goal was so pretty. Like, it was so pretty, I'm not even upset about last night's loss because I got to see that goal in person. God, it was pretty, but we played well enough to have at least gotten a point. I think we should have won the game. That missed high stick on Jordan Staal that we brought up earlier.
Oh,
he was bleeding.
Bleeding, and not four guys on the ice missed it, because here's the thing. If you're a linesman and you see a high stick that causes a cut, you're allowed to make that call.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
I know linesmen can call, what, too many men?
They can also call high stick and a cut.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not
four
know
guys,
that.
Four guys on the ice. Everybody misses it. That's because bad. They swallowed their damn whistle.
Yeah.
It was awful.
There were some makeup calls for both teams last night, too. I think last night's officiating was not great. I still don't want to say it's the reason we lost, but this is pretty damn close to saying it's the reason we didn't get a point.
I will say this. I will go to my grave believing that that was goaltender interference on Cam Ward last night.
Pat Clark said it is not. He knows more hockey than I do. I trust it was not.
I Pat Clark knows more hockey than I, and I will go to my grave still thinking I was right. Because it looked, I believe it was TJ Oshie or John Carlson or somebody, whoever was down there with Ward. You see him lay his arm over Cam Ward's glove hand, which is basically what he was going to use mm-hmm. to try to get himself up. And while it wasn't blocking him, he held the arm. If you hold the arm, oh, God. It's just getting angry now on this happy Dundon Day.
Happy Dundon Day. Props to Slavin for trying to make a glove save, too.
Glove save and a beauty.
Yeah. And
before we talk glove save, is high pad the new high glove? Did you see, what was that little left leg?
And he held that left leg there.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, like, floating split kick thing he did last night.
It wasn't just like the Carey Price cartwheel save from earlier where it's like, okay, it's a fluid motion and he stopped it here. Like, he held his damn leg up there. I don't know if he's been seeing a new yogi.
I don't know, but that was something.
It was something. I don't know that it's something I want to see again. I'm kind of glad I saw it once.
Yeah. We saw a lot of interesting things yesterday on Dundon Day.
Happy Dundon Day. I hope Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Klaas Dahlbeck are okay today. Because especially Van Riemsdyk, who he was like fishtailing it, trying to get off the ice there.
Yeah, I mean, just massive amounts of respect for Trevor Van Riemsdyk, who gutted out that shift and basically on his knee pushed himself off the ice. And I have to imagine that he went back into the room and basically got frozen whatever body part that Alex Ovechkin's slap shot hit and, you know, gutted it out for the rest of the game.
But they turned a can of compressed air upside down and just blew it all over him.
Exactly. That's how you freeze stuff. Don't try that at home. Seriously. It'll leave a mark right on the back of your friend's neck.
Yeah. If you're going to do it, just do it for like a...
Right.
Any more than that, you can like freeze it off, but still don't do it. But dude, it's hilarious.
It's not hilarious. It hurts. But it was, you know, those guys have to be black and blue today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and particularly this portion of the season. But, you know, the guys are coming up on a week off. Mm-hmm. The bye week's coming up. Hopefully we'll have a lot of guys who will have a chance to heal up a little bit. Speaking of healing, was good to see Lucas Walmark back on the ice last night, all in one piece.
Ow, my balls! Sorry, that's now his middle name to me.
Yes.
Lucas, ow, my balls! Walmart.
Guys who weren't on the ice last night, Brent Peach, a.k.a. Randy Orton, a.k.a. Brett Pesci.
Mm-hmm. He's out. He's on the for a little bit.
Yeah. All sorts of rumors floating around on Mr. Pesci. We don't know exactly what's wrong, but we hope he comes back. Again, we've asked a few questions, not that we know anything, but we've heard that it could be a week-to-week more than a day-to-day type of injury. So that's not necessarily good for the Carolina Hurricanes back end, but what is good is the fact of Klaas Dahlbeck is a better version of Klaas Dahlbeck this year than he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Hayden Fleury, while he has mental snafus, is continuing to learn the game. And we've got an all-star defenseman.
Oh, yeah, we do. It's not the one that I said it would be.
No, it is Noah freaking Hanifin. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the All-Star game, Derek. We got to talk about the turnover, right? That was worse than the missed call, right? Noah Hanifin in the corner, basically centering
mm-hmm.
Noah, lean in. Lean in. I'm going to say this quietly and politely. We like you. We don't want to turn on you. We think you are one of the future great defensemen of the second pair for this Carolina Hurricanes franchise.
You really qualified the hell out of that one, Mike.
Please, never, ever, ever do that again. Every time
you center the puck in your own zone, Tom Brady eats a nightshade. Do you really want to happen that to happen, Noah? Mm. Noah, don't do that again. Okay, back to the podcast.
He also had a gaffe that cost us the game in Tampa when he got outmanned by Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, that was
not good.
Tyler Johnson is a grown ass man, though. He is a fire plug, fire hydrant.
I fully understand.
Mike
that.
Mike Tolbert thinks that guy is squat and strong.
But there's a few rules that apply no matter what sport you're playing, whether it's basketball, football, hockey. Don't give the ball or the puck to the gentlemen or ladies wearing the opposite uniform that you are. That's just a good rule.
It is.
Don't do that.
Particularly don't do that in front of the area where you are trying to stop the other team from scoring.
Because it gives your goalie no time to react. Like, no. You have to just get kind of lucky to score there, or to make a save there.
Well, and you know what? Speaking of, Alec Campbell on Twitter last night from the producer on the Joe and Adam show and host of The Aftermath, basically saying, Noah made a bad pass and Cam should have made the save.
No.
What?
No.
Alec, come on. I know you guys are trying to get reactions online, but geez, oh, Pete, Colin Cowherd thought that was over the top.
Yeah. Cam had no chance. I do not put any part of that on him. I don't put any part of the Ovechkin goal, even though it was high glove, and we love to say, lol, Cam Ward's glove. But come on, that's an all-time of a shot there.
If that had hit his glove, Cam Ward would be without a hand currently.
Oh, yeah. And then there was the scramble, the goal that you still say was goaltender interference. And then there was one other goal, which I completely forget.
Cam had a good game last night.
He let in four, but I don't think he played poorly.
No, I think he gave us an opportunity to win last night because there was some miraculous saves he made last night. Mm-hmm. Be interesting to see. We should see Scott Darling in net on Sunday.
Yes.
Against Calgary. So it'll be interesting to see if Scott can put together back-to-back solid performances. And I'm really excited. So I believe as we speak, the alumni game is going on. Unfortunately, we were not able to make the alumni game today. But Derek, do we have a live in-game update of the alumni game?
No.
Okay, good. So for those of you who are at the alumni game, we hope you enjoy. Maybe this podcast will be posted by the time you're, you know, leaving, and you can enjoy it on the way home. But we will take on Calgary tomorrow, and then we've got the bye week. Derek, I know you've also got a bye week in that you have a daughter you have to go get and take care of, which is another reason this podcast is going to be slightly shortened today. So I ask you, do we have anything in that little mailbox over there?
Ooh, is it the one marked cheat mail?
Cheat mail, cheat mail. Gotta go get that cheat mail.
I'll go ahead and open up the cheat mail box here. What do we got?
That thing needs WD-40 on it.
It really does. It's not even that old. That's weird. I think we're going to start. No, we're not going to start with that one. One's too good. Here you go. From our buddy Dane at LionTamer80, do you know if Dundon has been a hockey fan for some time, or is he pursuing this venture as a newcomer to the sport?
Everything I've read is that he is pursuing this venture as a newcomer to the sport. You know, they've said that he's obviously trying to even learn some of the terms and the terminology. Tom Dundon wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Dundon feels like he has bought an organization that is on the cusp of winning.
Yeah, and he said he wanted to buy a team because they keep score.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Here's one that I think I'm going to take it, even though I like the question, but I like the guy who sent it in to us. It's at David Teague. Thoughts on the future of Don Waddell with a new owner who seems to want to be much more hands-on with the organization?
Yeah.
Don Waddell, for those of you who don't know, is basically president of Gale Force Holdings, which is the holding organization for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah. I think if I were him, that is one guy who I think is probably more nervous than many in the organization just because of the roles he has for overseeing a lot of the ticket sales. I don't know how much of a hand he has in the in-game experience, but I know a lot of the fan experience as far as bringing people to the building. My understanding is that's been on Don a lot. I think he's made some changes for the better, but have they been enough where Tom Dundon is going to trust that he can implement the things that he wants to see done? I have I would not put a lot of money on Waddell being here for two more years.
I would agree. I think, and I look at it less as a referendum on what Don Waddell has done, because as we've all seen, the team has been working on a shoestring budget without the ability to do mm-hmm. a lot of things. I just see that a guy like Tom Dundon has a lot of connections in the business community of people who know how to run large-scale organizations. And with Tom wanting to bring in new ideas and wanting to win, I think Tom may have, if I look at businesses, there's generally some lieutenants that new generals like to bring along with them. And when you mm-hmm. when you're in an organization and you are now the owner, you need a couple of your guys high up in the organization. Francis is here. Peters is here. The obvious position of change is president of Gale Force Holdings and kind of the overall operations president. So I would say that is a position that could be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some other, you know, positions potentially, you know, that need some help. So hopefully they get the help they need. A guy like Mike Sondheim needs help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of work that can be done on the press side of this to really make this organization better.
To each employ their own hat.
And an assistant.
Yeah.
So that would be a lot of help.
The men and women there who are doing three jobs, that needs to stop. Here you go, Mike, from our buddy Kevin Kohler. With the hints at changes in music being part of Dundon's plan, pick a new goal song for a player on the current roster and a goal song for a player from the 06 Cup.
Okay, so basically Kevin's saying individual goal songs?
Yeah, so just pick a current player, pick a cup-winning player, give them a goal song.
Oh, okay. I probably should have read the cheat mail questions before we did the podcast.
I can go first if you want. So this is a goal song for Noah Hanifin, for Jacob Slavin, for Justin Falk, for any American player that scores. I want the fabulous Rougeau brothers. We're all American boys. I want that song because it's hilarious. So I want that to be their goal song. From the 06 team, that's a tougher one. Screw it. Just for the laughs, Nicholas Wallin, let's give him ABBA's Dancing Queen.
Oh, that's solid, my friend. Okay, so I am going to go for the current team. I want Jeff Skinner to have basically Bobby Roode's Glorious as his goal song.
That's good.
Because both good Canadian undersized boys from right outside of Toronto,
mm-hmm.
and then Jeff Skinner's goal scoring celebration could just be him standing, arms open, spinning in a circle. That would be great.
No, it wouldn't, Mike.
It would be glorious. So I would say that. And then from the 2006 run, and this is slightly inside joke, and I can go deep if we need to. Brett Hedekin, I believe, was still a member of that 2016.
Last I checked.
Brett Hedekin, Billie Jean. Because okay. Brett Hedekin, for those who may not know, does the best Michael Jackson dancing impersonation of anybody who's ever played hockey. His Michael Jackson dancing routine is otherworldly. And I've actually asked Brett this, and he's like, it comes on and I just can't help myself. So the ability to see Brett Hedekin hit a slapper from the blue line and then moonwalk his way on skates through the fist pound line. Oh, come on.
Oh, that'd
on.
Be a lot of fun.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Somebody needs to do that. Someone needs to do a moonwalk fist bump. I want to see that happen. Hey, current Hurricanes.
Oh, could you imagine how mad old hockey media would be at that?
Oh, my God. Well, okay, speaking of celebrations, as you're looking up the next question, did you see Ovi with the whole kind of basketball dunk it thing last night?
No.
So, yeah, as Ovi kind of leaned back in his little, like, rocking chair celebration that he did, he raised up his right hand and kind of pointed his finger down, like, count it.
Nice.
And I was like, I hate you. That's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
All right, Mike. This, I believe, is the last one from me. Well, I know it's the last one from me. F. Mary Kill from our pal Al Hood.
This is good.
And great to see Al at the game last night. F. Mary Kill, let's go, Canes. Come on, Canes. Or the goalie chant.
Oh. Okay. I am marrying the goalie chant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's been with me so long.
Mm-hmm.
It's been with us since the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the one thing that we do that actually impacts the game.
That's true.
Because
it even has an impact on all-star games.
Yes. So I'm marrying the goalie chant. It is part of me, and love it or hate it, it is family. I'm effing Come On Canes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of new. It's kind of mm-hmm. sexy, and
yeah.
It's also European because it was Oliver Lindholm who gave it to us, and mm-hmm. You know what they say about those European chants.
No,
I don't know either. Which means Let's Go Canes has got to go. Sorry.
That's the exact right answer, Mike.
Okay. I don't often get these right. But that's good. Derek, I'll close it up with this one. This one from our friend Raleigh Specials, or Raw Specials over on Twitter, RAL Specials. She tweets out like special deals and stuff throughout Raleigh. She's a great follow if you don't follow her. F Mary Kill, January, February, March.
Hmm.
That's good. So think about this. So it's the run up to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the start of college basketball season. It's also March Madness, but it's also the Super Bowl. It's also Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things that are, but February is also the time when we see the most hurricanes. So F, Mary, Kill, January, February, March.
I'm going to kill January because usually work kills me because you're catching back up after some time off.
Okay.
And,
death to the Super Bowl, basically.
The Super Bowl happens in early February now.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Well, yeah, most part.
There is
not
a pivotal global event in the world of sport in January that I'm familiar with,
okay.
Especially now that Ohio State didn't make the playoffs. So I'm gonna F February because, it has Valentine's Day. And then March is getting married because there is not a single better sporting event than March Madness.
For the first time ever, Derek,
mm-hmm.
you and I have both agreed on two F, Mary, Kills.
Let's just walk away then.
Well, as we're walking away, why don't you sip that smooth, golden, delicious beverage there that you have in front of you. Courtesy of our friend, I believe, Dustin over at Bottle Mix suggested this one to you.
That he did. And it's a delicious one. So this is...
Derek, where is Bottle Mix?
Bottle Mix, they are on Creedmoor Road. They are behind the Briggs, behind the Wendy's there. So if you're driving on Creedmoor, you look to the...
Brennan Station.
Yeah, Brennan Station.
Okay.
You know where Margo's is? You're getting their free queso when Justin Font gets us a fat trick. Look over to the other side, and you'll see Bottle Mix in there. They have not only hundreds of beers, but hundreds of wines, too. So if you're not a beer person, but you enjoy the podcast, you'd like a place to go get some great wines, go see Jack. He is tall and has a beard and has a phenomenal selection of really cool wines, too. Like... wine geek stuff that you won't find in a lot of places that I truly love. So go in there and do like I did. Say, hey, Dustin, what do I need to drink this week? He will point you to the sign that has the 328 beer of the week in front of it. And this time, because we've done a lot of coffee stouts and dark roasty beers lately, wanted to kind of mix it up. Yesterday was warm when I went in, so I was like, how about a good IPA? He asked if I've had the Founders Azaka IPA. I said, I'm not sure, so let me fix that and answer with an affirmative yes. I like Founders Brewing, despite the fact that they're from Michigan. They make a lot of really good beer. So this is a single-hopped IPA with Azaka hops, which has an intense tropical aroma with hints of citrus and mango. A touch of caramel malt gives a sweet backbone to support the righteous fruit character in the beer. Pours a burnt orange color, and at 7% alcohol, your taste buds will worship this heavenly hop delight.
I just smelled it. I can affirm that it smells like hops.
Yes.
And the stout guy in me goes, oh, hey, that's beer. And, mm-hmm. and actually, one of the things, so I know I give IPAs a lot of grief, but I can smell and taste them, and I know, I'm like, well, that's well made. There's some I taste, and I was like, nah. So I get it. I don't quite enjoy it, but, Founders just makes, from stem to stern, from their IPAs, from their, I think, kind of our house beer here all summer is the Founders All Day Session IPA.
Oh, that's a beautiful beer.
Yeah. So, Founders does good beer.
I completely agree with what Founder said about this beer, that burnt orange color. Yeah. There are a lot of IPAs now that are like that New England style, a little hazier. This is not a hazy beer, but it's rich. Like I think of this almost tastes like a double IPA where it has that malty, rich, it does say caramel, almost a little honeyed backbone to it, but there's just a burst of like really, really good tropical fruit. I do get that mango, and it's a really ripe mango. Like if you cut it up and let it just sit in a dish for a while and just get really just rich. And
like end of day buffet mango?
But good.
Okay.
Yeah. No, end of day buffet. Little, maybe almost a little like super ripe pineapple, but there's a like a kind of that piney, real nice bitter hop to it that just, it's so well balanced. So there's the pine, there's the tropical fruit, there's the malt sweetness. It just combines to make a really, really delicious beer. And, you know, for a couple bucks or so a can, yeah, you should absolutely pick these up. So swing by, tell Dustin you want the 328 beer of the week. Like we've heard so many people have gone in and visited Dustin for that. So thank you for doing that. But he will set you up with some Founders Azaka IPA. And if you're heading there this week, that's awesome. I also recommend you go there this coming Saturday because we're going to be there, Mike, doing a live episode of this podcast.
Did you say F it, we'll do it live?
Oh, yeah.
Next weekend at Brennan Station at 1 p.m., we will be doing a live Cheaters Never Win. We will be three mic'd. It'll be the two of us. John Chase from the Kids and Community Foundation is going to come by. Why is John Chase going to be there? He's got a couple of things to talk about. He is going to be talking about the inaugural Hurricanes Bash that's happening, which is kind of a... I don't want to call it a replacement for what Casino Night was, but it's kind of a new take on what Casino Night can be. So it'll be interesting to talk to John. It will also be very interesting to take your cheat mail questions live. So we'll have a microphone for all of those in attendance who can come on up, be a part of the podcast. We'll have a conversation. We'll have a little bit of banter. Our friends from Cheaters Never Pin, also part of the 328 family. We know Tom and JC will be there. Hopefully Pat, Meg, and the whole crew is going to be there. So come on out, join us. Hope to get a chance to see everybody. But, next weekend, 1 o'clock, go to the website or go to our Twitter. You'll see a link there to be able to RSVP for us. So RSVP, so that way we've got some ideas of who's going to be out there. We've got t-shirt giveaways. We've got our t-shirt raffles, I should say. Mm-hmm. We're going to have koozie giveaways for everybody in attendance. The brand new Section 328 koozies are going to be there. The folks at Bottle Mix are going to be giving away some gift cards. You're going to be able to get your beer, your wine, have a drink while you're listening to the podcast. And then any tips that you may make are going to go to the Kids and Community Foundation. We're going to have a couple raffles. All of the funds raised from that are going to the Kids and Community Foundation. Hopefully we raise a few $100 while we're there too, so that way we can say, hey, let's give back a little bit to the community while we're there. So
absolutely. And the shirts that we're giving away arrived, so I don't have to sweat about that.
Booyah. Planning and logistics.
How about it?
Imagine that.
Well, because Amazon's been out of so many shirts and sizes and colors lately, and I've heard from a few folks who are like, hey, I really want this one in this color. Hopefully more inventory is coming from Amazon. I'm betting they got cleaned out over Christmas.
Yeah, I think that was also the case. So, folks, we'd love to stick around and talk, but we've got Dundon celebrating to go do.
Happy Dundon Day, Mike.
Happy Dundon Day to you, Derek. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope to see you out at Bottle Mix next week. We hope to see you. Maybe you come to the game tomorrow. You climb the stairs. You make your way to the section that says 328 out front. You make your way to row C.
That's where we sit.
Make your way to row C. You look for the really tall, lanky guy. You look for the guy who's a little bit tall and not quite as fat as he used to be. But come say hi. We love meeting you guys. We had folks come up to us last night and say, hey, we really look forward to listening to the podcast. And they're coming out to the podcast at Bottle Mix. So we really do appreciate all of you guys listening. But more than that, we appreciate you being part of our family. One last little take on this, Derek. We're going to have a little blog post about this later. Kane's Twitter is a mess. And we are going to begin to change the way we do some things around here to try to not contribute to the mess anymore. So if you felt ostracized, if you felt like you weren't, if you felt like that people were ganging up on you, not saying that we may have done that, but we feel like there is,
but we may have,
there's part of Kane's Twitter that have not necessarily been the most welcoming place, whether it be to new fans or current fans who have a different opinion. We no longer want to play in that end of the pool. We want to play in the end of the pool where everybody's welcome. welcome. So with that said, we're going to probably say a little bit about that on the blog, but between now and then, we're going to go celebrate Dundon Day. We hope you have a beautiful day. Derek, I hope you have a beautiful day.
I hope you also, Mike, have a beautiful, happy Dundon Day.
Happy Dundon Day, and a happy Dundon Day to all of you. Until next time, my name's Mike.
This is Derek.
We're out of here.